This is an interview with Elizabeth Faber for Youngstown State University for the History of East Palestine by Stephen Cossey at Mrs. Faber's house at 341 West North Avenue on April 17th at 3:15 p.m. Well, first thing I wanted to ask you, Mrs. Faber, is what do you remember about your parents and family?
Oh, a lot.
Well, what could you tell us about what life was like when they were around? And where did they come from and where did they live in the United States?
Well, they we used to live in Mercer County when I was 6 years old. Then we moved to the McCloskey place in Ohio here, just not very far from here. And then my father died up here. We lived all that time here. And when I was 6 years old, I can remember back when I lived in Mercer County.
Was that Mercer County, Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I can remember back. I was back once for to visit a girlfriend. And she took me out to the old home where we left over there. But everything was gone but the home. And the old lady that was a friend of Mother's. And so we went out in the yard and I looked around. Of course, there was nothing there. Was when I was there. So I looked around and I was placing things just as I was when I was there. So she said, do you remember? And I said, oh, yes. I said, there was a slack pile. There had been a mine there. And there was a big slack pile, but it was gone. And I said, didn't it stand over, you know, pointed? She said, yes. But she said, it's gone for years. And I was about 21 then when I was over there. And I said, in the corner of your garden there, I said, wasn't there an old house? Yes, she said, that is right. And I looked down, and there was a little grape harbor down at the foot of a little hill. And yes, she said there was, but it was gone. And then I looked over in across the field, like, and I said, isn't there a little spring where those clump of bushes are? And a big tree. And she said, yes, that's where we get our water. Well, I said, that's where we got our water. And I said, a many a bucket full of water I'd carried from that little spring for my mother to cook and to drink. And she said, they can't make me believe that you don't remember.
So were you, you were 6 years old when you came to the East Palestine area?
Yes.
When you were a child, what do you remember about, you know, what you did for fun when you were a little kid? Was it all work? Was there a lot of work to do when you were a child?
Oh, I had lots of work. There was 10 of us with my father and mother, and we had to work for our living. And I played baseball with the boys. I had 6 brothers and I was the only girl. And after I'd get my dishes washed, then I'd go out and play ball with the boys. So that's the only one I had to play with.
When I think about kids today, they have a lot of free time that they don't know what to do with. And years ago, everybody had to help out, and there was a lot of work. There's a lot more work years ago than there was, than there is today for the kids.
Yes.
And what do you think? Did kids have spare time years ago? Tell me about. Did everybody have to help in the garden and things like that?
Well, my brothers, they had to plow and fix the ground to plant. And my father, he had to work. Of course, he worked. And they, at night when he'd come home, why, he'd fix a place and he'd say, "Now, I want that done when I come home." So they would have it all plowed. He knew just about how much they could do because he was a farmer himself when he was a boy. So they always had their work done, but they never got to run around much. But I said my father raised two families. Because the children from town would love to come to the country, and there'd be some there half the time. So we had to work, though.
What type of activities? Trying to think here. I was going to say I forgot. Let me see. My mind went blank here. childhood. Let me see. How about you said you used to play a lot of tricks when you were a kid on everybody?
Yes, that's right. I'd have fun with them. I'd just tell them to do it, they'd do it. There was a fellow over at, lived across from us, and he came over, and Mother had bought this was when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and my mother had bought a bottle of, they called it Porter's Cure of Pain. And this fella came in, and she said, "I just bought a bottle of Porter's Cure of Pain." And I said, "Oh, yes, it's good. Just taste it." Well, he might have knew when it was for pain, but he put it on. Oh, it burnt his tongue. He got after me, and I run and laughed.
You know, today, a lot of women work. And I suppose years ago, your mom didn't work. She probably had to stay home and take care of the kids.
Oh, she had to.
Is that the way it was? Did most women stay home?
Yes. They never run around like they did. They didn't have parties or anything them days like they do now.
What type of family activities, what did the family do? How did you celebrate? Did you have church socials and things like that?
Well, they had, but we were small, and we lived in the country, and we didn't get to go to church as much as we should have. My mother would, at night, take us, and we'd kneel at her knee and pray. Have our, we'd call it our prayer at night. So,
what about transportation when you were a child? How did you get to different places?
Well, my father owned a big wagon, and he owned a buggy, and we went by buggy, and we had 3 or 4 horses, and. We always had plenty to eat because we earned it. And my father was a good farmer, and he'd get a raise about three crops off of one hill. He would plant, the ground ready for corn. Well, then he'd plant a couple of grains of corn and a couple of these little beans, soybeans, or a navy bean, they call them. And then he'd plant a pumpkin seed. And he would have loads of pumpkin, and we fed them to the cows. And then the corn he had there for the pigs. We had our own meat for year round.
Did you ever have to buy meat? Did you ever buy meat, or did you have all you needed?
No, we had all we needed. He would raise about five or six big hogs, and he fattened them on corn. And he'd just throw the corn over and let them eat whenever they felt like it. And some of them would weigh 200 and some 250. And he always had about three or four of them. And then he had cows, and of course he'd kill a young steer. And he'd take half because we didn't care as much for beef as we did for
pork.
We liked pork best. And he'd make sausages, and we had most everything. I said it didn't take us long. My mother always kept a big pot of boiled potatoes. If anybody would come, why, she'd just peel them and get her meat. She'd put up a meal in short time. So.
Did you have to go to the store to buy anything? There must have been some things.
Coffee and sugar we usually had to buy, you know. Mm-hmm. And any spices if anyone needed anything. But that was about all we had to buy.
Do you remember how much some of the things cost when you used to buy? Today, things are very expensive. Do you remember how cheap some of the things were when you were a child?
Well, my mother never would sell anything, but she would make apple butter. And all kinds of butter. We'd go out and get berries, and she'd make jellies and everything like that. So we had plenty to eat that way. So we didn't have to buy anything but sugar and coffee and the spices or whatever we had to have.
How about clothing? What did your parents do about the clothing for the children?
Well, my father would go down when we were small. He'd go down and he'd buy our shoes. I can see him yet. He'd take a little twig off of the tree, and then he'd put it down our behind our heel. And then he put that in the shoe. Our shoes almost fit us. And that's the way we got. And then, of course, my mother would go down and she would buy stuff for the... And she made all her clothing. And she even made my father's shirts. And they used to be that they would be corded. And she never had a machine. She done it by hand. I don't know how she ever done it. But she would make these quilted, the fancy shirt fronts for the... And then I had two older brothers, and I was the third one. And my older brothers, of course, they One of them worked with my father.
What did your father do? He was a full-time farmer? Is that what?
No.
No?
He used to work in the mines.
In the mines?
Yes. And he worked in the mines for quite a while, and then the manager was Mr. Lewis, and he always thought a good bit of my father, and he said to my father, he said, "I'm going to change you over." He would dig coal in, and he said, "I'm going to change you over," and he said, "I want you to go around every night, and take what every man would dig, you know. Some would dig a ton, some would dig 2 ton, and then he would take it and give it to the next man." And that was Grant Hill.
That's where the mine was located, up in Grant Hill?
Yes, over here at Bacon.
Near Bacon Avenue.
Yes, over there. There's a mine over there. He worked there, and he worked in the State Line place for a while.
There was a mine at State Line, wasn't there?
Yes, the State Line's over here. So.
Right. They still sell coal over there, I believe. They have an area where they still sell coal.
I suppose they do.
I suppose your dad came home pretty dirty sometime, working in the mine.
Yes, sometimes he come home earlier. But he never made very big wages. They got about $2 a day.
And that was hard work, wasn't it?
Oh, and hard work.
The miners today are getting, they say the miners average about $60 a day today. But it's still not an easy job.
No, it's not. It's a hard job as far as that goes. But they didn't get it.
You went to school, Mrs. Faber?
Yes.
What do you remember about school? Or, you know, what could you tell me, you know, some of the things, some of the subjects you took and what the teachers were like in the buildings?
Well, we had one teacher we liked real good, and he taught, I forget how many terms, the Stouse Schoolhouse up here.
Where was that located, the Stouse?
You could up the hill there and then go down a little, there's a lane goes down there, and then go up past there, but it's made over into a house. Now they don't have that at school. I didn't get to go to school as much as I should have. I had to help my mother. She had so much work to do.
Do you remember, did you take the regular subjects, reading, writing,
yes.
Arithmetic?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That was about what we took.
Well, you know, I should have asked you this earlier, but I had forgotten. When you were born, what date you were born, Mrs. Faber?
I was born in Pennsylvania.
In what year?
And 1876.
1876.
And my little niece, she's not little, she's about 18. She come over and she took me down to town, and my daughter and her mother. And she said to me, "Are you sure, Aunt Lizzie, that you're 103 years old?" I said, "Oh, yes, Heidi, I know I'm that age." And, she said, "I don't know. You don't look it." I said, "Well, I look pretty wrinkly." "Well," but she says, "you don't look to be the age you are."
When did you get married, Mrs. Faber, and what did your husband do for a living?
He was a baker.
A baker?
And a good one.
In town? Was he a baker in town?
Yes, we had a bakery here in town till 1940.
What was the name of the bakery?
Faber Bakery.
Faber Bakery. Mm-hmm.
And he worked for my brother. My brother had a bakery, and then he worked for him. That's how I come to meet him. And he worked for him about, I don't know just how long. But he was from Pennsylvania. That is Washington, Pennsylvania. And he baked for my brother for a while, and then my brother sold out, and then he started a bakery. So we was in the business for quite a while.
Did you help out at the bakery?
I did towards the last. He had one of those rare diseases. The muscles died, you know. And he wasn't able to... he worked for a long time, and then he got so he couldn't work very good. And he said, I'll have to close up. And we did in 40. And then in 40, he took a bad spell. And I thought he was going to die. So one morning he was so bad that I called the doctor about 4 o'clock. And the doctor came and he said, well, Mrs. Faber, all I can do is to give him some medicine. If it don't take hold, he says, I'll be back about 8 o'clock. And he said, if he don't, my medicine don't take hold, he won't be here when I come back. And, but he said, I want you to give him this medicine every hour till I come back. So I did. I just stayed with him and give it to him. And when he came back, well, he says, my medicine took hold. And he lived 8 years after that. But he made garden, and I got a job with my nephew. He makes, he was a born artist. Those things up there, he made those from scratch. He just took plaster Paris, and he carved them, and then he made his own slip, everything. Mm-hmm. And he built his own keel, and he's still over there yet. And I worked for him about 6 years and cast for him. And the poor fella, he's not very good. He has cancer, and he has diabetes. Two of the worst things could be. But he goes and works. He's all right yet.
You mentioned the doctors. What was it like years ago? Today in East Palestine, you have about 5 or 6 doctors. Did you have many doctors in East Palestine? And years ago, were there many doctors in town? And did you have to? Did you have any trouble getting a doctor to come to your house?
Oh, no. We had one or two that would come to the house. But I have one now that will come. He told me he'd come any time that I needed him. But the most of them won't come. You have to go. And
how many children did you have, Mrs. Faber?
I had two.
Two?
A daughter and a son. A son only lived 2 days. And
what do you remember most about raising a family? When you raised your family, was it expensive? Think about the food, the stores, clothing.
Well, it wasn't like it is today. When you ask about the when I was a child, my mother, she didn't use, she would never sell anything that we could make use of. But when she would sell what she didn't need, she got 10 cents a dozen for eggs. And she'd have maybe some butter, you know, left over that she would be churn twice a week. And she'd have, we used a good bit of butter. And she got 10 cents a pound for her butter. And, oh, there was so many things, you know, that way that was, you didn't get very much for. But what was it you asked for this time?
Well, I didn't mention before I didn't ask you what year you got married. What year did you get married?
1914.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was about the time of World War I was going on. And,
yes.
And the United States would be entering soon.
Yes.
Did your husband happen to have to go to fight in World War I?
Well, no. He had a child, and they, you know, he got exempted on that. And he didn't have to go. So, no, none of my brothers, they were older, you know. They didn't have to go. But my grandfather, he went in
Civil War?
Uh-huh.
He fought in the Civil War?
Yes.
Did he used to tell you about the war when you were a child?
Well, they did. They lived in Virginia, and we didn't get down there very towards the last, you know. And I didn't get to see my grandfather. I saw my grandmother, but I never saw my grandfather.
So your grandfather fought for the Confederates. Is that right? For Robert E. Lee and the Confederates?
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, you say he was from Virginia, but he fought... Well, West Virginia, okay.
West Virginia.
All right. Well, back in those days, I think it was 1862, West Virginia broke away from Virginia.
Yes.
Okay, and then, right. So he fought with the Union forces.
He fought there, and I had an uncle that was just my mother and her sister and my uncle. And he was 15. And my father, that is, his father had to go to war. And he wanted to go, too. No, they wouldn't take him. Well, it says, you might as well take me because I'll follow you. And they said, no, that he couldn't. But he did. He followed them. And so the fellow told me he better go back home. And he said, no, if you can't give me something to do, he said, I'll follow you. So he followed them, and so the fellow said, well, we might as well give him something, so he made a bugler out of him. And he followed them. And after the war was over, he joined the regulars, and he fought 40 years in the armies, different armies. He said the worst army he fought in was the Japanese. He said they would snap you off when you'd be walking along, you wouldn't know there was anybody around, and shoot you down.
Do you remember what it was like during World War I? Was it different, the country, what was going on and what people were thinking about? Were people worried about the war, that America, we wouldn't win the war?
Well, some did and some didn't. Some of them felt as though they was all right. I have one nephew that was in the a Second World War, that would be the Japanese, wouldn't it? He comforted me in getting it. And then I had another one. He said they were in an old building, him and another fella, and he said, first thing he knew, the one side of the building, they was shocked, you know. And he said, we piled out of that and run over to the side that they had shot. And he said, then they shot the other side. So he said, if we hadn't have did that, we would have got it too. But this one nephew, it seemed though he was one of the bunch that was left. The most of them was taken away, shot.
When you and your husband got married, where did you move to town, or did you still live out in the country?
No, we was moved here in town, just on this other East North Avenue. This is West, and we lived on East North Avenue till she was about 2 years old, I suppose. We moved to a little Washington, but we was only there about 8 months. His brother was in the bacon business, and his father, but he didn't like it in little Washington, and he said to me, would you like to go back home again? And I said, well, wherever you can do the best, why, I'll be satisfied. So he liked it here, and so we came back here. And I've been living here for 59 years.
59 years.
We bought this in 1919, and we moved back here. I've been here ever since.
Uh-huh. But you've lived in the East Palestine area since you were 6, right?
Yeah.
You lived in the East Palestine area since you were 6 years old, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's
see. When you got married, how did you and your husband get around with your family as far as transportation? Did you ever use trains to go places, or?
Yes, when we went to Little Washington, we always took the train, or we didn't travel too much. We had too busy. Yeah, we had a bakery for so long, and we had to take care of it.
You know, I mentioned to you before, you know, people seem to have more spare time. A lot of people today work 40 hours a week, and that's it. And then they have Saturday and Sunday off. But when you were married with a family, you just didn't have that spare time, did you?
No, we didn't have any spare time. We was busy all the time.
Did you still have was there still a horse and buggy? Or did there were cars were starting to come around here, weren't they?
Yes. It was a friend of mine. Her husband was the first one that owned an automobile here in town. Then after that, Dr. Hartford was our doctor here then, and he bought an automobile. But that was before there was any roads fit to ride on. So he said to me, I was a clerk in my brother's had a grocery store and a dry goods store, and I clerked there for 6 years. And so he said to me, that was the first ride we ever had in an automobile, and it was a rough one. So he said, if you take your niece and nephew, I'll take you out for a ride in the take you out for a ride in the automobile. So my nephew is just a little fella. Oh, he was ready to go. So we was riding along, and all at once we hit a bump. His head flew up, and he almost hit the ceiling. And he said, I don't want to ride with the doctor. I thought the doctor would... He just laughed and laughed about it. But he didn't want to ride with the doctor after all.
Your family still had a bakery during the Depression. When things started to get bad in this country during the late 1920s and the early 30s, when we had a Depression, what was life like in East Palestine?
I think there was three or four bakeries in a little place like this, and nobody got very much. But I always took care of the business part of it, and he done the work. And of course, I baked the pies. And the lodges used to have doings, and maybe they'd have 500 or 600 at it. So I'd bake maybe 150 or 200 pies, little pies, for just big enough for lunch. And I had one. This fella, he'd always come to me for his baking of these pies. He said we made the best pie in town. So then there was a lady, she was, I think, the auxiliary, they called it, and she'd always come to me for the pies. So we got a little more that way than some of the rest of them. But they had it pretty tough, some of them. But I said I was thankful to my Lord, I never turned anybody away when they'd come in and want something to eat. If I didn't have what we called leftovers sometimes, you know, you'd have some leftovers and you'd put it back. I always kept a box and kept it good and clean, but they would get hard. So one day there was a fella came in and he said to me, hey, could I have anything for him to eat? And I said, well, I have some leftovers. They're a little hard. So I gave it to him and he went out and he came back in and he said, lady, he said, I can't eat that. He says, it's too hard. And I said, well, you're not hungry. I said, I could eat it if I was hungry. I said, I'd just get a little coffee from one of the you know, sometimes you'd ask for, and they would give you a cup of coffee. And I said, you could eat it that way, dip it in there, because it had sugar on them, most of the buns and things. So he said, well, I couldn't eat it. Well, I said, you're not hungry. So he went out. And but I never turned anybody away. I always give them something.
But did your family have to make any sacrifices during this Depression a little bit? Did you change your lifestyle a little?
Well, my brothers were in the baking business, and the most of them, and one or two of them worked in a factory. They seemed to get along all right. We never had any trouble because we made the stuff and I said we had it. I would never turn them down.
Well, I suppose the fact that East Palestine was a rural area out in the country, that people had gardens, a lot of gardens, and there were a lot of animals that were butchered, so it wasn't like living in a big city, I suppose.
And I said to him, there was one fellow who'd come in. I knew just about how long things would keep. And I would take the buns and we'd roll them. And then I knew how long they would be before they would mold, you know. So there was one fellow came in and he'd buy 2 and 3 dozen of these leftover buns at 5 cents. And when there was fresh, with 10 cents. And everything was cheap. And I gave him these buns. And he said, "Missus, do you know what I do with them?" Oh, I said, "I didn't know. I suppose you eat them." He said, "Yes, we eat them." He said, "I'll take these home." And he said, "My wife will just put them in the oven just before we're ready to sit down to eat. And they'll be warm when they come out." And he said, "They're as good as any one you take out of your oven." He said, "It was just that good, you know." And I said, "Well, I'm glad somebody gets good at them." I said, "I couldn't just sell them for fresh." And I said, "I'm glad somebody gets some good at them."
Mrs. Faber, after the Depression, things got a little better, but I don't know if you could say better because we went into World War II. The president during the Depression was Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt.
Yes.
Did you like Franklin Roosevelt?
Well, not too good, I didn't. I just didn't.
Didn't think he was helping the country that much?
I didn't think he was, no. But maybe he'd done more than I was thought he did.
So when did your family, when did they get out of the bakery? What year was that?
In 40. That is, my husband sold out. And, of course, my brothers has been in, my nieces are in the business yet, the Golden Dawn here, Morris's Golden Dawn. My brother owned that till he died. He was 72 when he died. He was the last brother I had to go. I have one sister living and a few nephews and nieces.
What did you think about World War II when we got into World War II? Of course, you didn't have to worry about anybody, any of your...
No.
Your husband was too old to go, and you didn't have any sons, but...
No. My nieces and nephews had grown up too. They wasn't in it. There was one in played ball. He was a ball player. He has the store down here now, him and his brother.
When you look back at East Palestine, what are some of the changes that you've noticed about the town that you like, that, you know, things that you you like to see?
Well, I tell you, I can remember when there wasn't very much of the town here. On the main street down there, there was only a few houses. See, that's been 103 years. It made a big difference. And all out along here, there was nothing, just plain. And these two houses right across here, and where Mr. Up above where Mr. Hirsch lives, that house, there was only two houses out here. There wasn't any. So all this is built up since that. My brother built this one. And
of course, they had a theater in town later on, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. They used to have. That's when, even 30 years ago, my husband was sick at the time, and I said to him, she wanted to go to the theater with her cousin. And so he said, well, let her go. He said, I'm all right. The doctor had been up. And he said, he's a lot better than he was. He said, yes, I feel a lot better. So he said, she can go. So she went with my niece and my sister's daughter. And I got our meal ready and she ate, but I didn't know he couldn't swallow. And he hadn't eaten any from Friday till Monday. He died a Monday afternoon, or an evening. And she wanted to go with them, wanted to go with her cousin. So they went to the, and I thought, now I'll go up and sit with him after I got things. And all at once he raised up in the bed and he said, what is that? And I was sitting there. I didn't see anything. I said, well, I don't see anything. I said, what does it look like? He said, oh, a lot of cakes. That was his business, you know, and he supposed he was dreaming about them or had. So I said, I thought to myself, it's time I'm getting somebody here or I'm not. He would maybe die on my hands. So I came down and the phone was in the little hall. We had a hall here, you see. And so I called my brother. He just lived up the street here a little bit. He said, I'll be there. And he wasn't 15 minutes till he was here. And he said, what happened? He had felt so good when the doctor was here, and he felt good. And so he called the doctor, and he came, and he gave him a shot of something, and so he laid down again. But while I was down calling my brother, he got up. Went in to cross the hall to my bedroom. And I went up and I said if he'd have come this way, he'd have fell downstairs and broke his neck. But he didn't. He went into. So I said, what did you get up for? He didn't say. So I led him back and put him in bed. And when the doctor come and gave him a shot, why then he didn't say no more, but he told me to put the hot water bottle to his feet. So I did. Or I didn't because mine was leaking. And I called my sister to come and bring hers, and she wasn't long till she'd come and get. So I just got the bottle with hot water in it, and I got into the hall and started to his bedroom, and I said, "Oh, he's gone." I just felt it. I didn't know he was gone, but I just felt that he was gone when I looked in. He'd had, thrombosis. And his fists, he was clenched and his head thrown back. He was terrible.
Mrs. Faber, I just have a couple more questions for you. First, I want to ask you about all these plaques on the wall. Could you tell me about all those plaques you got?
Well, I got two from when I was 100. I got one from Jimmy Carter, and I got one from Nixon. And then I got one from Michelle. He was a senator. And then the other one in the middle there, that dark one, I got that for being 100 years old. The only one in Palestine was the 100. And Palestine had become 100 years old. Well, then I got from Carter, didn't I? Well, I got two from Carter that I'll just tell them as they get. And then I got one from Applegate. And this time, he called me instead of sending me in. And the senior citizens gave me a party and gave me a plaque. And then Michelle gave me another one. That made two from Michelle. And then I got two from the representatives of Ohio. Then I got one from Michelle personally. And then I got another one there's two last ones I got.
Daily, I think was
from Daily?
Daily and Palmer. Who? Signed it.
Yeah, it's the president of the. You can see what it is. Those were the last two I got. And under that other, was two more. That I haven't got.
Both of Harry and Michelle.
Uh-huh.
And William Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the Office of the on Aging of Columbiana County.
Yeah. The other one has a gold sticker on it.
There's another one under it.
Tell me, I'd like to live as long as you've lived. Give me a few hints, Mrs. Faber. What do you...
Hard work, for one.
Hard work?
Yes. And...
Did your grandparents live a long time, too? Or you think maybe you inherited that from your grandparents, maybe?
No. It seems though my parents or my grandparents died younger, you know, in their, 70s or maybe 80s.
Mother was 90.
And my brothers all died young. And...
But you think it was hard work.
It was hard work, I think, did it.
How about the food you ate? You must have eaten the right food.
Well, yes, I. We lived on a farm, and we ate what raised on the farm.
In spirit, so, you didn't have a lot to do
with it. I said, I never knew what it was to be hungry.
And how about your spirit?
Oh, I went around some. My brothers would take me. If I'd want to go to a party and all, they'd take me and their girlfriends. And
you know, today you probably see in the newspapers and television, and they have a lot of this junk food. You know, this food that it's just, well, they call it junk food, and there's a, they say there's not very much nutrition in this type of food. But when you were growing up, and even when you got older, you know, you didn't have that type of food. You had all good food to eat, so.
Yeah, it's always sad. We had good food. We had all the eggs and milk. Every night before I'd go to bed, about 8 o'clock, I'd eat a big bowl of bread and milk. I had to have my bread and milk. But after I got older, then I didn't do that. But I always had good food.
Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to talk to you today. And yes. I hope I see some more of you, Mrs. Faber.
That's what Mr. Palmer said. He wants to fill up that corner. Well. He's always so nice.